two long years ago, I joined one of the longest waiting lists I think that I've ever been on. That is the waiting list for getting a guide dog. I started the application process back at the very beginning of 2007, and it included several interviews, or rather talks, about my mobility needs and how they might best be addressed and what a guide dog could bring for me, along with a mobility assessment which involved walking down the road holding onto a guide dog harness pulled rather embarrassingly by a human. Thankfully, I don't think anybody I knew saw me doing it, and it was probably good preparation anyway for doing the real thing later on. But little did I know at that time how long it would be between that point of putting in the application and actually being matched with a dog. I actually joined the waiting list on the 1st of August 2007, having waited a little while, just in case a dog came up early, at a time when I didn't want to take time off work. I should be so lucky. Once on the list, I then had almost 2 years to wait until I heard the first inkling of what might be to come. An email from the district team leader for Surrey and West Sussex guide dogs, telling me that they had identified a potential guide dog puppy. I didn't know the name at that time, but I knew, or I heard, that it was a German Shepherd, which is what I'd hoped for, and that he was showing great progress at the training level, but that there was still a long way to go. And then in June, I heard some more news that this dog was doing actually quite well in its advanced training, and could we possibly arrange a matching visit? And that visit took place a couple of weeks ago, towards the end of June, where I got to meet Van, for the first time. He's a lovely, great big German Shepherd, quite young, only just over a year and a half at the moment, a year and 7 months. But he's big, as you would expect a German Shepherd to be. And he walks fast, which is good because I walk fast too. And he's intelligent, and, well, I wouldn't like to say that he needs to be intelligent to be like me, but it'd be a little immodest, wouldn't it? But I need an intelligent dog anyway in order to understand the world around him, to be able to work well in a city environment, to be able to cope with the tube and the buses and trains and hundreds of people on pavements and sitting through long, boring meetings. And so he came along, and I think he was a bit shy at first. They say that German Shepherds get rather attached to their owners, and in his case, the guide dog's mobility instructor, Delia Roding. I think he was rather surprised to be being worked by somebody else, or to at least have somebody else on the harness. But we had a good test drive, tested the acceleration and the cornering and what speed he could get up to, and he can indeed get up to quite a pace, even by my standards. I mean, that was quite fast going. I think the instructors are rather concerned that at the training in August, they might be running behind to keep up, and that they might have to start a bit of a fitness regime in the time between now and then in order to be in shape and ready for then. But anyway, the walk went well. Early concerns about whether I would be able to follow a dog, given that I have some reasonable level of sight during daylight, or at least I think it's fairly reasonable, although I do walk into lots of things and people, so perhaps it's not quite as good as I think it is. But those concerns that were expressed at the time when I was applying, as it has been known for some people with sight to anticipate what the dog is doing, and so reduce its level of alertness to obstacles. But anyway, that didn't seem to be a problem. I was able to be guided around obstacles, around trees and lampposts and other items. And it was rather good fun, actually. being led around like that. I mean, I'm used to being guided by humans, and it's quite novel to be guided by a dog instead. But not something that it wasn't something that I thought would be as alien, that was as alien as I thought it would be. So all in all, quite positive. And I also learnt a fair bit about the dog. As I said, he's fairly young. He weighs about 47 kilos, which is over two-thirds of me, and at least 20 kilos heavier than my friend Abby Baker's dog, Bliss. What else did I find out? I found out about what he eats, which is lots and lots. Found out a bit about his medical history. And he also came up to the flat to have a little wander around and was rather inquisitive to look behind the sofa and what was in my room and that sort of thing. And all in all, it was very positive and was agreed that he would, it seemed, be suitable for me and that I should begin training on Monday the 10th of August. So, that leads me on to why I'm making this recording. Well, in the 2 years between joining the application, joining the list rather, and having the matching visit, I tried to find information on the internet about what it's like to train with a guide dog. And there's a fair bit out there about what training the guide dogs themselves go through, what happens when they're being bred, about the puppy walking stage, about their training. There's a wealth of information. In fact, on the Blue Peter website, I'm sure everybody has seen the guide dogs sponsored by Blue Peter at one stage or another. But I couldn't find anything along the lines that I wanted. That is, something explaining what the would-be guide dog owner goes through when they go off to a hotel to train, what they learn about, what sort of walks they go through, what are the trials and tribulations that they go through, what's easy, what's difficult, and all of that. And for a very long time I couldn't find anything at all. There was a description of what it's like to work a guide dog, which I found on an American website from one of the first guide dog owners, coincidentally working a German Shepherd. The German Shepherds were the first breed of dog to be used as guide dogs. I eventually found, actually, when searching very recently, a diary written by somebody in Jersey on the BBC Jersey website, and it's well worth reading. However, I really think it's worth having something comprehensive, something in the form of an audio diary. So that's what I'm intending to do. We'll see how well it works, but the plan is I will bring along this recording device, very kindly loaned to me by David Apps, a friend from sailing, and I'll bring it along and hopefully not only record my thoughts at the end of each day as to how it's gone, what went well, what didn't go so well, but also perhaps bring it out on walks if the people from Guide Dogs don't mind too much, or at least when walking the dog around the hotel where I'll be training, when taking it out to visit the toilet or to be run off the lead. And through that I hope to chart what really goes on when training with a guide dog, both as something that would hope to be of interest to the public at large, but also to prospective guide dog owners who want to know what goes on. I intend, once home again, after the time in the hotel, to write a little bit about it on my website as well. But my immediate priority will be to do this audio diary. Before going off to the hotel, before the 10th of August, one of the things I would like to do is to set the context for you. I think there's a general feeling amongst the public that anybody working a guide dog is totally blind. They don't see anything at all. Visual impairment to the public, I think, at times is very black and white, very binary. You either have sight or you don't have sight. And if you don't have sight, you don't see anything at all. And I think it's important to stress that many long cane users and many guide dog users have some sight at some time. there are many who don't see anything, but there are some, like me, who do. My level of sight is slightly complicated to describe, particularly as, although it has got worse over time, I've never seen what some might consider to be perfect vision. In the briefest of terms, I see in daylight enough to walk around without actually using the long cane properly. That is, moving it about in front of me to feel for obstacles. Although I do carry the long cane the whole time and use it to feel for steps at times or to guard myself against objects I might be expecting in front of me but can't see. Or to help me in busy areas or when working around slightly dimly lit places like railway stations or the underground. In daylight I have a level of tunnel vision. I have a tiny, tiny bit of good sight in the very centre of my vision, then a band of sight that I don't see very well, and then a bit of peripheral vision outside that I do see. None of it's great vision, but I do have some. I also have a little bit of colour blindness between certain colours, reduced contrast vision, which means that I don't spot steps or plate glass windows and doors and things like that, which can all be hazards. I'll explain a little bit more about this when I go out for a walk, of course. At night, it's a completely different kettle of fish. Bar the streetlights, and by the streetlights I mean the bulbs in the streetlights rather than the light that they cast on the ground, I cannot see anything at all. When walking down a road with streetlights and cars moving up and down it, I will see the bulbs, the white lights of the cars and the lights of the streetlights. But I use them more like lighthouses, trying to work out a line between each one, or learning a route between each one, rather than looking at what they're shining on. The light that they cast isn't enough for me to be able to see the edge of the pavement, or people walking along it, or hedges, or lampposts themselves, or other obstacles, or stationary cars, or any other street furniture that may be out there. So at these times I use a long cane properly. Use it in the way that the public will see many visually impaired people using a long cane. That is, panning it in front of me, moving it, clicking it from one side to the other, hoping to catch an obstacle, or feeling out, in fact, for obstacles that should be there, that I know, that I've learned, would be there, so a certain hedge, a certain lamppost, a certain curb, in order to find a way along. And again, I'll explain more about that when I go through a walk at some point. But my reason for talking about this is to somehow show, hopefully, the difference that a guide dog makes. Whether or not it's a positive difference for me or not, it may turn out at the end of the day not to be. At the end of the day, I need to qualify with it, and if the people from guide dogs or I don't feel that it's right, I may not qualify. However, the hope is that in daylight it will improve the safety of me getting around. I tend to walk around rather fast, certainly for the level of sight that I have, and often bump into lampposts and people and things like that, and I hope that having a guide dog will stop some of that, although I don't expect for one moment that it will be the very end of bumping into things. I also hope that it will give me more confidence in places where I haven't been before, or in busier areas, busy pedestrianised streets, for instance, or places with lots of traffic, or when I've got to cross busy roads without pedestrian crossings where I might otherwise have difficulty trying to do it by sight and sound alone. At night, I hope that it will, and in other dimly lit areas and places, I really hope that it will improve my confidence no end. At the moment, my mobility is generally restricted between getting between work and home, work and the station, that sort of thing. I don't venture out to pubs or to anywhere else really, and particularly in winter I have to think about when I'm going out so that I can get back before it gets dark to make sure I can get back safely. And so I hope that having a guide dog will really improve my confidence in that and allow me to get out when I want to go out to the theatre, to go out to pubs, to go out in the evening after work or weekends, without having to worry about getting back. And I think that could be really important. So those are my initial thoughts on it. I intend to make at least two more recordings before the 10th of August. One, I think, a walk in daylight to try and explain what it's like walking then, and then a walk at night time using the cane. I'm not going to do it tonight though, as there's an awful lot of rain outside and I don't really want to get wet. But until then, over and out.